You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt, live from the Gilgamesh Resurrection Chamber. If you're watching the video version, the lights are dim. They're dim because we're going to the dark side today. We're going to the TMZ Illuminate Roundup show, your favorite show, where we cover a wide variety of topics. We're going to catch up with the latest. In case you haven't had time to watch all the mainstream media and tabloid news, I've been keeping tabs for you, and we're going to run through it and catch you up. Got a lot to cover today. I'm going to try to get it done in an hour, all right? Here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Epstein. He's dead. He's back in the news. Turns out he's been hanging out with some other folks we didn't know about. A guy named Noam Chomsky. Maybe you've heard of him. We're going to talk about it. Artificial intelligence, AI, drama galore. Ali Alexander, the right-wing InfoWars Stop the Steal guy, allegedly grooming teens. Alter egos through all of pop culture. We got Lil Uzi Vert, Jack Harlow, Dinah Jane from Fifth Harmony. They all got the alter egos. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas at Bohemian Grove. Sam Smith doing some more satanic stuff. Doja Cat got a demonic tattoo. Lil Nas X, they say he's not gay. Then we got some Disney updates. They got a show about a teenage girl falling in love with who? The devil. And then to wrap it up, we're going to talk Kevin Hart, Jay-Z, and Jay Electronica confirming the Illuminate. It's a lot to get through. We're going to do it, though. First, give me 3 minutes to cover some housekeeping topics that don't quite have enough to make a full story out of. Since we've talked, and for the record, I'm actually recording this pretty early. Look, the month of May, you got to bear with me. I've got a lot of weird stuff going on, a weird schedule, so it's going to get weird. I'm recording this on late Tuesday, May 2nd, all right? So could be things that happen after that I miss, whatever. Since we talked last, Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon fired. You fired. Bud Light got canceled. Right? You know, and it's a real bummer because they had a good thing going there on TikTok where someone changed the acronym of Bud Light to "Bitch, you don't like it, go home then." And I thought, that's pretty clever. Actually don't, you know, I don't drink a lot of light beers. I'm a porter kind of guy, but, you know, Bud Light's fine. But you know the whole story there. We don't need to get into that. Shout out to Jason Alexander, a two-time guest on the show. I need to get back with him. We were supposed to get him on a couple months ago. I got busy. And I'm a total jerk. But Jason Alexander, according to Page Six, which, I don't know, tabloidy, are they telling the truth? I don't know. Claiming he got married. So congratulations, Jason. Someone on the socials asked me about my YouTube channel. What happened was I got dinged again. Thank you, Nick Hinton. Just kidding. Shout out to Nick Hinton. But on the episode where I talked to Nick Hinton, he made the most passing glance mention of the VACC thing. You know what I'm saying? And they dinged me. They gave me a big red flag and said, if I do one more, I'm getting kicked off again. I said, oh, brother, why am I doing this? And as you know, I had set up a Rumble account, too. Rumble's a bunch of BS, too. I mean, anyway, don't get me started. Rockfin's the only place to go if you want to post some videos. Coolio, we did a show about his death. Apparently, he died from fentanyl. That's a bigger conspiracy in itself. Are they doing the putting fentanyl into the drug supply on purpose? Maybe. XXXTentacion, we've done many shows on him. His killers were sentenced to life. And contrary to the controversy, Drake was not called to the stand. They were going to call him to the stand, and I thought, well, this is going to get interesting real quick. We're on 0 to 100 real quick. But no. Because Drake's got good money. He's got them good lawyers, all right? He ain't going up on the stand. Are you kidding me? Moving on. That's housekeeping. Let's get into Noam Chomsky. He's been a bad boy, allegedly. Allegedly, right? Who's Noam Chomsky? He's this 94-year-old intellectual philosopher type. I don't know a lot about him. Wikipedia, I've heard his name, obviously. Wikipedia says he's the father of linguistics. Can't say I really know what that means. He's a professor at MIT. Must be pretty intelligent. They say that he's a libertarian socialist, and he grew up with an interest in anarchism. And I believe that he had written some very famous book about anarchy a long time ago. But it says he wrote 150 books. That guy's been busy, all right? Now, look, here's another forewarning about this episode, folks. I'm ultra high T Isaac again, yet again. I finally defeated this sinus infection. I had a chronic sinusitis, and it's finally gone. It's finally in the rearview mirror. It's been 6 months, and I ain't playing with you hoes. You know what I mean? But today, I want you to bear with me, because look, I know half of you disagree with me on a lot of stuff, and that's okay. That's what we're here for. We're here to talk about this and that and the other. But today's show, we're gonna pick on some liberal figures, and we're going to pick on some conservative figures. I don't identify with either group, but I'm socially very liberal, as you could probably already know. What they call classic liberal from the 90s. I'm very much a free speech kind of guy. But I also support the Second Amendment, so, you know, there's common ground for us. In fact, I just bought a Glock 4.5 the other day. I'm going to turn into a real red-blooded, meat-eating, gun-toting American here, all right? Now, let's get into Noam Chomsky here, because there's one section of his Wikipedia that, to me, I'm like, I don't know, this doesn't sound so bad, but of course, you know, that's my libtard blood flowing through my veins. Says he argues that Western capitalist countries are not really democratic, because in his view, a truly democratic society is one in which all persons have a say in public economic policy. Well, I don't know. I don't know if all persons should have a say. I mean, all persons are, you know, I've met America. Not everybody's the smartest, but I get it. But listen, he has stated his opposition to ruling elites. Okay, here we go, right? Among them, institutions like the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the GATT, the precursor to the World Trade Organization. So I don't know, maybe he's all right. I don't know enough about him to have an opinion. All I know is that the liberals love him, okay? But then listen to this. In the New York Post, I'm going to read you from them. The list of Jeffrey Epstein's possible connections now includes America's spy chief, a college president, and a former Obama White House counsel. According to a collection of previously unreported documents that included the convicted sex offender's schedules. This trove of papers obtained by the Wall Street Journal shows meetings between Epstein and several prominent people, including three with William Burns, the director of the CIA, when he was the Deputy Secretary of State in 2014. And if you look this guy up, this William Burns guy, he was in all kinds of high-up positions. He was various types of ambassadors, all the way from Bill Clinton to George W. Bush to Obama and now Biden. These prominent people have not been accused of any wrongdoing and have all maintained that their connections with Epstein were purely professional or social. None of the names appeared in Epstein's Black Book of Contacts, the journal reported, or in the flight logs of passengers who traveled on his private jet. It's also not clear what the purpose of each meeting was or if every appointment actually happened. Epstein, a registered sex offender, brokered the meetings after he served time in prison in 2008 for a sex crime involving a teenage girl. The documents show Noam Chomsky, the author, activist, and professor, was scheduled to fly with Epstein and have dinner at his Manhattan home in 2015. That's, if you do the math there, it's 7 years after he had been in prison there for messing around with the girls, teenage girls. Leon Botstein, the longtime president of Baird College, met Epstein several times and even invited him to the campus. Catherine Rumler, who served as White House counsel under President Barack Obama, met with Epstein dozens of times in the years between her White House career and her next job as an attorney at Goldman Sachs. Epstein had also planned for her to be on two trips with him, a 2015 visit to Paris and a 2017 journey to his private island in the Caribbean. Most of the people included in the thousands of pages of emails and schedules from 2013 to 2017 told the Journal that they met with Epstein because of his wealth and connections. Others said they had more... Oh, we already said that, didn't we? Okay, let me skip all this. So if you go to the Wall Street Journal's article, they quote Chomsky as saying... Chomsky commented to the Journal that he knew Epstein and the two had met occasionally, stressing that at the time Epstein had served his criminal sentence, and according to U.S. laws and norms, that yields a clean slate. Now look, I get it. I would like to argue that anyone who serves their prison sentence is now considered reformed. Like you paid your cost. You paid your dues, right? You shouldn't have to continuously be punished. Like, what do you want these people to do? They get out of prison and then they got to keep being punished the rest of their lives? Like, no, they serve their time. They're done. I'm a wholehearted supporter of that. Now, Epstein is some whole other stuff, though. This guy didn't get caught, you know, wasn't down on his luck robbing a car or whatever. You know what I mean? This guy was on a whole nother level. So to dismiss it and say, well, you know, he served his time. Oh, he barely served any time because he had the money and the connections to make sure that that did not happen. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know the Chomsky guy too much, but he seems shady to me. Just the fact that he says that. You know, this is like Bill Gates, too. I'm still waiting for the Bill Gates stuff to drop. His wife divorced his ass. She said that played a role, that played a factor, this whole thing of him hanging out with Epstein. And we did, well, we did 8 episodes about the VACCs. You know what I'm talking about? And on one of them, we looked real deep into Bill Gates, real deep into his beady little eyes. And we talked about how he was hanging out with Epstein with, what was it, like Miss Norway or something, and her daughter. Man, I don't trust none of these elites, man. None of them. Speaking of Epstein, we could segue, you know, we're talking about AI and transhumanism because that's what Epstein was into. That's why he had that Zorro Ranch out there in New Mexico collecting DNA. Just like we talked about in the Stanley Kubrick Lolita bonus episode in the summer of 2020, where Kubrick's movie Lolita revealed the exact truth about this strange ranch out in New Mexico where people were doing weird stuff. The godfather of artificial intelligence quits Google because of a risk to humanity. He's concerned. If you go to the New York Times, I'm going to read to you from it. Jeffrey Hinton, presumably of no relation to the great guest Nick Hinton, was an artificial intelligence pioneer. In 2012, Dr. Hinton and two of his graduate students at the University of Toronto created technology that became the intellectual foundation for the AI systems that the tech industry's biggest companies believe is a key to their future. So, okay, so he's the godfather of AI, by definition there. On Monday, he officially joined a growing chorus of critics who say those companies are racing toward danger with their aggressive campaign to create products based on AI. I'm paraphrasing now, okay? Dr. Hinton said he quit his job at Google, where he's worked for more than a decade, and became one of the most respected voices in the field, so he can freely speak out about the risks of AI. A part of him, he said, now regrets his life's work. This is all shaping up to be very scary, folks. The guy who created this monster is now saying, maybe we shouldn't do this. I console myself with the normal excuse, if I hadn't done it, somebody else would have, Dr. Hinton said during a lengthy interview. Dr. Hinton's journey from AI groundbreaker to doomsayer marks a remarkable moment for the technology industry at perhaps its most important inflection point in decades. Industry leaders believe the new AI systems could be important as important as the introduction of the web browser in the 90s. But gnawing at many industry insiders is a fear that they are releasing something dangerous into the wild. Generative AI can already be a tool for misinformation. Soon it could be a risk to jobs. Somewhere down the line, tech's biggest worriers say it could be a risk to humanity. It's hard to see how, quote, it's hard to see how you can prevent the bad actors from using it for bad things, Dr. Hinton said. Now, I don't typically try to support Elon Musk often, but he was on Tucker Carlson, and he was talking about how Larry Page from Google, the CEO, owner of Google, founder of Google, was, he's, of course, they're messing around with AI, you know, and he talked about how Google is making AI gods, and that's a concern of his. Back in 2017, he's been saying this for years, right? Back in 2017, he, let me read you here. He said, experts who talk of artificially intelligent robots reaching divine status should absolutely not be allowed to create a machine smarter than humans. He was addressing an article from VentureBeat about the possibility of an AI god emerging by 2042. Now, we talked, ironically, to Nick Hinton about AI. And there's this idea that AI could be the manifestation of the alchemical desires to infuse spirits from the ether into a human body. Sounds a little wild, but there's all kinds of crazy conspiracies about AI, about how it's could be us from the future. We could be talking to fallen angels. Lots of different theories out there. But I do believe that Google desiring to create AI gods is exactly what they have in mind. And we're going to, let's see here. I'm going to try to find the exact quote for you. So Larry Page was saying that it would understand everything in the world and give you back the exact right thing instantly. And this, of course, has always been the goal. It's always been the goal to use Luciferian wisdom, the Sophia, the Gnostic wisdom, to create a false god. This is literally the story of the Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel, as some would say. Man's technology trying to create a way for man to become God. I believe it's no different. If you listen to, in fact, I was listening to Christopher Knowles. He had an appearance somewhere. It was probably on Higher Side. I don't remember. A while back, he was talking about how he was saying that technology hasn't been really giving us all these fake promises that they gave us in science fiction for all these years. And I thought about it. I thought, man, I think he's kind of right. You know what I mean? Like they showed us a lot of stuff, and we were doing really well. But where's the flying cars? That was supposed to be 8 years ago. Speaking of, did you see the Michael J. Fox interview where he's struggling with the Parkinson's? Terrible, terrible. Painful to watch. Very tragically sad. I hope Michael J. Fox isn't Illuminate confirmed because, you know, I want to love the guy. I want to hope he's doing all right. Yeah, you watch that. It's painful, man. Shout out to anyone dealing with that in their family. That's tough. We're starting Elon Musk. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, more warnings about AI, long story short. And Elon Musk, for as many faults as he has, and look, I don't know if I trust him anyway. He's building Neuralink. What's he doing to help humanity there? He's kind of pushing us down that path of transhumanism. So I think he's ultimately supporting those goals on some level. Speaking of Twitter, this next topic, he's been banned from Twitter, suspended. He is Ali Alexander, yes. They call him Sammy Davis Jr. of the conspiracy world. He's apparently dropped out of the public eye after being outed for asking teenage boys for nudes. Yes, that's right. He's been grooming the teens, allegedly. And the reason this is important, and I don't know a lot of other people talking about it, Billy Ray Valentine talking about it, I think that's it. Just me and him. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple others out there, but it sure is quiet on the conspiracy front about this guy because He's been on InfoWars a million times. He was on that Trump Stop the Steal team. He organized the Stop the Steal rally, apparently. Testified at the Jan 6 trials. He wasn't arrested or nothing, so, you know. And look, if you watch Alex's War, which I did, you know, they have footage. Alex Jones was trying to break it up. Like, when they started trying to break into the building, he was like, hey, knock it off, guys. What are you doing? Because it's supposed to be peaceful protest. I'm actually totally fine with the peaceful protest. Go for it. If you think he stole the election, like, protest it, right? So apparently he didn't do anything wrong there. But the point is, he's very cozy with InfoWars. He's very cozy with Trump. And some of these folks they're calling right-wing white supremacists, they say up and down, left and right, that they're not. I don't know. The few things I've read from them, I think, I don't know, it seems like you are, but I don't follow them close enough to give them that much energy. But people like Milo Yiannopoulos, Nick Fuentes, these guys were running around with Kanye when Kanye was talking about the people that that rule the world. Oh, dear. But Milo Yiannopoulos, he was the one who was apparently for years has been spilling the beans about Ali Alexander, saying how Ali was using his access to Milo, who apparently is very popular among the young kids for his being a famous YouTuber. But anyway, Ali Alexander was apparently, allegedly, talking to teenage boys trying to solicit nudes to give them access to Milo Yiannopoulos. And accusers have come forward, accusers like Aiden Duncan, talking about how when he was 15 and Ali was 32, Ali was asking him for nudes. Another accuser was 17 when, let's see here, and there's screenshots of this stuff, right, that Milo was sharing, I think on Telegram. Show me your eggplant emoji, Alexander wrote in one message. Johnston, that's the accuser's name, replied back, what's that? Alexander responded, OMG, dick. Jeez. Now, these accusers have the screenshots. Then Ali Alexander got suspended on Twitter. Then he apologized for it, for these grooming allegations, and he said he's leaving the public eye. Because, I mean, when you're part of the Save the Children crew and it turns out you're grooming the kids, I would probably bail too. But I don't know. That's all allegedly. Maybe he didn't. I don't know the guy. I don't know his motivations. But it's an interesting story, right? Lil Uzi Vert. He's got an alter ego. He's joining the ranks of all these other artists talking about the alter ego. And this could go into the arguments about doppelgangers and even all the way down to duality of the black and white, good and evil, that kind of thing. As you know, I've been consuming Twin Peaks for my second pass through, and I'm preparing an analysis of some kind. I don't know how I'm going to unleash this thing. Here's what I'm guessing is going to happen. All right, I'm almost done reading all the books. I got three of the big Twin Peaks books read. I'm finishing the David Lynch bio. I'm finishing up watching a couple David Lynch movies that I hadn't seen in a long time, like Blue Velvet. I've never seen Inland Empire. I got to watch that. But at some point this summer, I plan on doing a season one Twin Peaks series of shows. Far too much to get into one episode. I'd like to talk about David Lynch, probably for a full episode. Then we'll talk about the whole first season. That'll take probably, I don't know, two or three episodes. It'll be like when we did Stranger Things September. Maybe we have, I'm trying to think of a month that starts with T, but there are none, is there? Anyway, we'll do a Twin Peaks month for season one. Now, you're probably going to say, well, Isaac, let's go, when are we going to do season two? Well, season two has twice the episodes of season one. So, and I know not everyone's into it. I've looked at the engagement on the Stranger Things shows. People lose interest. Some of you love it. Some of you love the deep dive. But more people don't than do. So what I think I want to do, after I do the season one, if I still got the inertia, I'm going to keep working and maybe prepare a season two, then a Firewalk with Me, then a season three analysis of sorts, but I'm going to package it up as a book. That's my plan. That's my hope. At some point, I'd like to get some guests on to talk about Twin Peaks. I don't know if that'll be before or after the book. I don't really know yet. It's all up in the air, but stay tuned for all that. But anyway, Twin Peaks is there's a lot of doppelganger, duality, twinning. There's lots of twinning in Twin Peaks. So Lil Uzi Vert, he's twinning. He's got an alter ego named Leslie Chow, named after the character on The Hangover, which, hot take, you're not going to like. I didn't think The Hangover was that good. I didn't think it was that funny. It was fine, but I wouldn't put it up there with Wedding Crashers and 40-Year-Old Virgin. Like, it was fine. It was just kind of, I don't know, it was kind of like bro cliche-ish, you know? Which I know, you look at me and you say, Isaac, you're clearly a cliche of a bro. And I get that. I understand that. But yeah, I mean, The Hangover's fine. I don't think I even watched the sequel. I was so unimpressed with the first one. It's like for basic dudes, you know what I mean? Why do I say these things? 90% of you disagree with me. And like, it's a fine movie. Like, it's not funny. Just not funny enough for how many sequels did they make? It's not that good. All right. So anyway, Leslie Chow's in The Hangover. He's the guy who plays he's the Asian dude, right? Ken Jeong, the guy who was a doctor before he started acting. Well, you know, and Lil Uzi Vert also goes by the pronouns they and them, so it's not a... And look, when he starts getting to they, them, that's when I start... The liberal stuff starts leaving my body, and I'm like, okay, this is some whole other thing. Like, I don't know why we got to push it, right? Like, why do we got to go to this extreme? Like, you gotta respect people's ability to keep up with changes, right? Not everyone's on board with that. The they, them is like some whole other thing. I'm not saying I disrespect it. It's tough for me to wrap my head around. I know for sure it's tough for everyone else too, as well. So Lil Uzi Vert is a they, them. And why do I bring all this up? What do we care? Well, if you read Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, my hip-hop book, you know alter egos are a common trope for these musicians, particularly in rap music. Now, Garth Brooks did it too, right? Remember, he was Chris Gaines? But they all go through this sort of split personality from all the trauma of being a famous celebrity. The greatest example I can think of is Beyonce. She talked about how her alter ego was Sasha Fierce, and she feels Sasha coming into her body and taking over when she performs. And I think that's literal, you know what I mean? That's literal. Okay, sorry, I'm distracted there. Lil Uzi Vert, and why are we picking on him? Well, he worships Satan. There's that. His name is Lucifer. There's that. He loves Marilyn Manson. He told his fans they're all going to hell. And they loved it. They ate it up. So this guy's, you know, he's demonic. He is demonic. And I like some of Lil Uzi Vert's music. I'm not going to lie. He's got that newer song. I just want to rock. Yeah. But it's dark. That's a demonic song, I think. You know what it reminds me of? I was in the little town of Scottsdale, Arizona, 2 weeks ago, 2 weekends ago, and for a bachelor party. If you listen to me on Breaking Social Norms and where we get into my personal life, me and my wife, this is the second time I've gone down to Scottsdale for a bachelor party, and it was 2 a.m, and a few of my friends, my boys, were like, "Hey, let's go hit a strip club," and I said, "Okay, let's go. Let's see where we got one. Let's find one close to the house, all right? Like, I'm a little too old to be hanging out till 6 a.m. So we get in the Uber, and we go to this place called Centerfolds. And the night before, we were at Jaguars, which is a real classy upscale strip club. I loved it. It was great. Great. I won't get into details because some of you get offended. But let's just say it's a great strip club. One of my favorites. And we went to this place called Centerfolds, and they dropped us off. It's in this grimy strip mall, And the bouncer's outside. He, you know, they check you in, and you can see, you know, it's got that dirty carpet with the ripples in it, like gray carpet. And I was just like, oh, boy, this is not where we want to be, folks. And it's a one of those strip clubs where there's no alcohol, which is another red flag. You know what I'm saying? We go in there. I mean, you know, the women got stab wounds, bullet holes. I'm like, oh, man, this is, look, guys, I don't know if we're prepared for this kind of environment. So we sit down, and I'm mad uncomfortable, and I start hearing this Lil Uzi Vert song. This ain't what you want. This ain't what you want. I said, oh, my God, we got to get out of here, man. We're about to get shot in this strip club at 3 in the morning. Anyway, so, yeah, that's what it makes me think of now. But anyway, Lil Uzi Vert, he's 27. What am I talking about? Oh, shout out to Mario. Almost said his name wrong. Shout out to Mario. I met a listener out there. I was at a sports ball game, and we're waiting outside for the Ubers, and my man Mario comes up and says, bro, I listened to the show. I said, that's what's up right there. That's what's up. And not only that, he's on the Patreon team, okay? I said, well, thank God you're not a disgusting free feed loser. Thank God for that. I'm just kidding. But I was like, what are the odds, right? What are the odds? And he told me later, because he had to run and catch his cab, he told me later, he said, you know what's crazy? He's like, underneath my jersey, I had the conspiracy theory shirt on. I was like, damn, man. Which reminded me of when I spent 12 hours waiting to meet Bob Barker, and I had a Happy Gilmore DVD, and he signed the cover of it, which has Adam Sandler holding the golf club. And I carried this DVD with me while I waited in line at the Price is Right for 12 hours. They don't tell you this. When you pull up to that studio, we checked into the hotel across the street, and they said, hey, we're here for Price is Right. They said, oh, you better go get in line. I said, No, it's tomorrow morning. I got tickets. I said, oh, no. They start lining up. You better get out there at midnight if you want to get a spot in line. I said, oh, my God. So I waited at midnight. Me and Jealousy and her family waited at midnight, and I held this DVD of, you know, this is 2003 or some 2004. I held this DVD of Happy Gilmore. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to meet Bob. I had my Air Force blues on, you know, because Bob Barker was in the Air Force. And I was like, I'm going to get him to sign this thing, man. I still got it downstairs. I'll take a photo, put it on the Instagram. But don't start teeing off on me, all right? I'll share my life on there. You guys, shut up. I'm talking trash. But, yeah, anyway, like, so I wait all this time, right? I'm delirious by the time we get into the Price is Right thing. I on one of the commercial breaks, I get him to sign it. I'm like, oh, this is great. I get home. I pull it out because I'm going to frame it. And I realize on the inside cover, there was actually a photo of the inside of the DVD cover of Bob Barker punching Adam Sandler. I said, you got to be kidding me. I wanted him to sign that. I would have had him sign that. Why did I have him sign the dumb cover? Looks like Adam Sandler's signature now. Anyway, so Mario had the shirt on. That was, we share that experience. Okay, not that I'm to the level of Bob Barker, but you get what I'm saying. So shout out Mario. Yeah. Shout out Jaguars. Okay. Anyway, Uzi, he's 27 years old. So if something happens to him this year, it's Illuminate confirmed, right? This guy sold his soul to the devil, I think, on some level. He's certainly pitching it. And he's going to be on Saturday Night Live, May 6th. Let's see what happens. Okay. Alter Egos, Jack Harlow. He dropped a new album. Does anybody care? I sure don't. Not a fan. He allegedly picked up an Alter Ego 2. I couldn't find it as of this recording. Nobody cares, though, right? Who cares? I think it was just a rumor, maybe. I don't know. All I could find is that he had an Alter Ego of Cody Banks about 5 years ago, which is based off some corny kids show. I don't understand it. I'm not a Jack Harlow fan. He's fine. I just don't like him that much. Dinah Jane? She's got an alter ego. She's from Fifth Harmony. She's LDS. Not that it matters, but she's LDS. I'm going to read to you from People Magazine. Dinah, along with Ali Brooke, Normani, and Lauren Babadabadu, went on a indefinite hiatus in March 2018 following Camila Cabello's December 2016 departure from the group. Oh, I didn't even know Cabello was a part of Fifth Harmony, but apparently she was. Since then, the California native has released her Dinah Jane 1 EP in April 2019, which included tracks like Blase, Blase, Blah. With these songs, the musician told People that her alter ego, Miss Jane, takes hold. Quote, when Miss Jane comes on, she's grown and a different woman. She's mentally elevated and she carries herself with much more class and charisma and all that sexiness. Because of that, Dinah isn't afraid to take dip. Well, I copied and pasted. This is what it says. Because of that, Dinah isn't afraid to take dip her toes into different genres with her solo music. I'm not really afraid of anything. I don't really have any fears. Blah, blah, blah. So, lots of alter egos flying around. And you could argue this is dissociative identity disorder. You could argue this is just musicians trying to channel some other kind of energy. You could argue that the abuse of the music industry is so much that they have to dissociate from themselves. I don't know. Look, I have an alter ego too. Isaac Weisop's not my real name, so in a way I get it. Not really. But it's not really an alter ego. It's just a pseudonym. It's a writer name, okay? I don't know if you're following it. On my Twitter, Anonymous has... They try to make a big to-do about this GOP op where they were going to release all this damning information about Republican figures. Seemed like it's a lot of nothing so far. But the one that was interesting is Amy Cohen Barrett, the Supreme Justice person. One of her passwords, because they doxed them, they released their passwords, which I don't really support that. I think that's a shady business. So they actually got suspended on Twitter, which I'm actually okay with. I'm like, bro, don't be doxing these people, man. But Amy Barrett, she had a password, Diablo 33. Which obviously means the devil, and 33 obviously is the highest level of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, the speculative Freemasonry. I thought that was really odd. Now, of course, females aren't really in Freemasonry. They could be in the Order of the Eastern Star. But I thought that was really strange. Diablo 33. Speaking of the Supreme Court... Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, a.k.a. Long Dong Silver. That's what he called himself. I'm not making that up. He got in trouble for not disclosing all these gifts he was receiving from this Republican mega donor, Harlan Crow. Gifts include a $500,000 family vacation to Indonesia. That's quite a vacation. I'm going to read you from ProPublica.org. They did the investigation and broke the story. It says, for more than two decades, Thomas has accepted luxury trips virtually every year from the Dallas businessman without disclosing them. A public servant who has a salary of $285,000. I didn't know they made that much money. He has vacation. Imagine making $285,000. And hanging out with someone that's got so much more wealth that person's like, I'm going to take care of you, bro. Okay. He has vacation on Crow's super yacht around the globe. He flies on Crow's Bombardier Global 5000 jet. He's gone with Crow to the Bohemian Grove, the exclusive California all-male retreat, and to Crow's sprawling ranch in East Texas. Thomas typically spends about a week every summer at Crow's private resort in the Adirondacks. I don't even know where the Adirondacks is. That's how poor I am. Not that I'm poor, but you know, you get what I'm saying. There's levels to this, is all I'm saying. There's levels. Interesting, they gloss over the Bohemian Grove, all right? They call it the exclusive California all-male retreat. Or as Richard Nixon once said, the most F-A-G-G-Y thing he's ever seen. lots of conspiracies. You know most of them already. It's where these elites gather every year. they do a, and Alex Jones broke in and infiltrated Bohemian Grove and gave us the footage of them worshiping a giant stone owl, doing the cremation of care ceremony where they burn up a child, an effigy child, symbolizing their cares, burning it up. In fact, if you want to learn more about Bohemian Grove, I listened to a really good episode. I have a friend named Chris Jericho, and I've done his show twice. He's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And he had a guest on, I'd say about maybe a month or two ago, talking about Bohemian Grove, and it was very interesting. It was really good. In fact, I have notes somewhere. I took a couple notes. Let me see if I can find, if they're on my phone here. No, they're not. All right, well, disregard that. But yeah, Bohemian Grove, Illuminate confirm, right? You get it. Now, what's interesting, because like I said, I'm working on Twin Peaks, hot and heavy. And one of the major themes of Twin Peaks, and I'm going to tell you where we're going to tie it all together. Twin Peaks, I believe, ties together some theories of James Selby Downard with the atomic bomb at Trinity site with Jack Parsons. And infamously, the Manhattan Project with the secret, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the government couldn't pull it off. They're so inefficient. They couldn't pull off a secret. The Manhattan Project was totally kept secret. They built like three damn towns all over the country to support this thing, and they kept it quiet. They were able to do it. But the Manhattan Project, the whole concept was cooked up at Bohemian Grove. That's right. In, I don't know, 1942, something like that. Let's keep reading from ProPublica. Let's wrap it up. The extent and frequency of Crowe's apparent gifts to Thomas have no known precedent in modern history of the U.S. Supreme Court. He's basically paying him off. Come on. Let's read between the lines here. These trips appeared nowhere on Thomas's financial disclosures because he knows he's guilty of it. His failure to report the flights appeared to violate a law passed after Watergate that requires justices, judges, members of Congress, and federal officials to disclose most gifts. Two ethics law experts said he also should have disclosed his trips on the yacht. This Crowe guy has got so much money. He bought Clarence Thomas's mother a house in Savannah, I think. Says she still lives there. I mean, come on. How naive. Oh, did she be able to just do that? Take him on trips and all this stuff. But I think that's the whole thing. That's why no one trusts politicians anymore. And the Supreme Court is supposed to be a non-politically affiliated crew. That's the whole idea. To have a balanced judicial branch. You're supposed to have your legislative, your executive, which is the president, and then your judicial branch. The judicial is supposed to be completely non-political, but of course it's turned into that. I don't remember where we were going with that. Sam Smith. Super satanic. Super gay. Now there's a problem with being gay. All right, let me clarify that. This is a LGBTQ friendly show right here, folks. I got family members that are in the community. So if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with me. All right. But Sam Smith being slant again, and another Sam Smith uses the they them pronouns again with the non-binary thing. Sam Smith being slammed online for their recent satanic and grotesque tour performance. Because you remember he did what was the damn show? The Grammys with, oh man, what was the other person's name? I totally lost it. But Sam Smith dressed up as the devil and lots of people threw a fit. And I'm going to read you from page 6. The performer, who is non-binary and uses they, them pronouns, was criticized for the show named Gloria the Tour following the success of their fourth studio album of the same name. Their stage outfits included devil horns, nipple tassels, and wire crowns. Last night, Sam Smith performed a satanic show filled with sexual references, fetish gear, a striptease, and a grotesque imitation of sex acts on stage while children were in the audience. Internet personality Ollie London tweeted. And here's the thing. I feel like on some level you should be responsible to know your audience. This was the problem I had with Lil Nas X. You know, if you build an audience and you know there's a high percentage of children in there, you should try to be cautious of that. I get it. They want to move on and have a more adult themed deal now. But sorry, that's, you know, it's like Lil Nas X. He does Old Town Road. I don't know if he intended to get a youthful audience to follow him, but that's what happened. That's what put him on the map. That's what made him famous, because little kids love the song, right? And then he parlays that and writes a children's book, because he's like, oh, I got this baked in children's audience. So I'm like, okay, I mean, if that's the route you want to take, go for it. But then he switches gears completely, and then he's twerking on Satan. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? And apparently Sam Smith's doing the same. I didn't realize he had kids that – I don't listen to Sam Smith. I couldn't tell you one thing about the guy. But apparently he's got children in the audience, which I don't know. Kind of a messed up deal, I think. Doja Cat, she's got a new tattoo, and it's demonic, apparently. She's been doing the most with this Illuminati shtick. She had that 27th birthday party we talked about a few months ago, full of Freemasonic symbolism. And she's been trolling people about how she's now in the Illuminati. On Thursday, March 9th, Pop Faction noticed that the 27-year-old deleted all videos on her TikTok account without explanation. She additionally changed her profile picture to a scary demonic creature. Well, she ended up getting a tattoo of that scary demonic creature. And the fans were weighing in. That's what they talk about. It's always these articles like, the fans are weighing in. And they post a bunch of tweets. And like, this isn't the news. This is social media. But let's dig into this image, right? And I'll put the image on the Instagram. You can see it. The creature in reference is an illustration from this old book. I found an article about it on publicdomainreview.org. It says, highlights from the illustrations in the 1665 edition of Fortunio Lecetti's De Monstris, originally published without the illustrations in 1616. Lecetti's work, although not the first on the topic of deformities in nature, was perhaps the most influential of the period. In the wake of the book, there was a huge rise in interest throughout Europe in monstrosities. Pygmies, mermaids, deformed fetuses, and natural marvels put on display, becoming the circus freak shows of time. However, unlike many of his contemporaries, Lecetti did not see deformity as something negative, as the result of errors or failures in the course of nature. Instead, he likened nature to an artist who, faced with some imperfection in the materials to be shaped, ingeniously creates another form still more admirable. It is said that I see the convergence of both nature and art, because one or the other, not being able to make what they want, they at least make what they can. Arguably, this isn't a demon, apparently. So, again, I don't know if she's just trolling around, or if... Sometimes I think these tabloid people are served up a story, and then like Doja Cat's PR person says, hey, put this image out there of her new tattoo and tell everyone it's satanic. And then, you know, it just stirs up controversy, and some people don't mind negative attention. Any attention's good attention sometimes. But it sounds like it's a much more innocuous than originally reported. So is it Illuminate confirmed? I don't think so. But I think a Doja Cat is using some of this stuff to get attention. Lil Nas X, we already talked about him, but guess what? He might not be gay. That's right. But he's sure doing a good job selling it, all right? XXLmagazine.com interviewed Woe Vicky. If you don't know who Woe Vicky is, she is another one of these internet personalities. She's been around for a while. Woe Vicky is convinced Lil Nas X is only pretending to be gay after selling his soul. And the Georgia rap crooner has a pointed response for the social media personality. On Wednesday, April 12th, the We in Miami podcast shared a snippet of their new interview with former Bad Baby antagonist Woe Vicky, in which she gives a conspiracy theory about Lil Nas X. "I think he need Jesus," Vicky said when asked to opine on the Old Town rapper. Also adding Lil Uzi Vert to her short list of rappers who she believes needs healing hands. All right, me and Woe Vicky are on common ground now. "I wanted to say this about Lil Nas X. I got a few friends that went to school with him, and they said he was never gay. So I know for a fact what he's doing is because they told him, you got to do this." She's implying there are handlers in the music industry forcing him to pretend he's gay to make money. "I feel like ain't nobody really gay in Jesus' name, amen," she continued. "It's getting popularity, it's getting you money, getting you views. So it's like selling your soul. The industry is demonic. You have to do certain things to get that. So I believe he had to do certain things to get where he's going." Shortly after the snippet dropped, Lil Nas X responded, blah, blah, blah. He responded, "Who gives AF what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this?" I guess that's a diss at Woe Vicky. I don't get it. Whatever. So, is Woe Vicky plugged in enough to know the truth about what's going on in Hollywood and in the entertainment industry? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, she's up there, right? But Lil Uzi Vert and Lil Nas X, and I don't agree with her on the thing that she says nobody's really gay. I don't believe that. I mean, come on. But yeah, she calls out Lil Uzi Vert and Lil Nas X, which I agree. Like, they're pushing Satanism. They really are. Speaking of, and here's where I'm going to bring it back for all the right wingers listening. Okay, Disney Plus. Let's pick on Disney, right? Common enemy for all of us. We all hate Disney. They have a new series in the works about a girl who falls in love with the devil. All right, I'm going to read you from Deadline. Disney Plus has unveiled a German original about a teenager who falls in love with the devil. Pauline follows the eponymous protagonist, an 18-year-old. Oh, boy. They presume that people understand what these words mean. Pauline follows the eponymous protagonist, an 18-year-old who accidentally becomes pregnant from a one-night stand. With school stress, the climate crisis, and the downfall of society weighing heavily on her mind, something she doesn't need at all right now is catching feelings, especially not for her one-night stand, Lucas, who, as it turns out, is the devil himself. And, of course, with that name, Lucas, like Lucifer, right? And it's interesting that she has to become pregnant, all right? She becomes pregnant. She's going to create the Antichrist. Which is, of course, the Jack Parsons thing and ties into that whole thing of incarnating the beast, manifesting the son of the devil, the Antichrist, into our world. Some people could argue this is man making love to the AI fallen angels. Maybe that's what makes it happen. I don't know. But hey, it's just art, right? You could argue that. You could take that approach. In fact, I had a conversation with Josie at home about this, and she says, "Why is everything got to be with you? Why is everything got to be about, oh, this is satanic and this isn't?" And I'm like, well, I mean, I get that. Like, sometimes art is just art. Sometimes, you know, not everything's got to, what, are we supposed to just read the Bible for entertainment all day? Like, I get that, right? That's actually a decent argument. But, I disagree with this one here. Why do we have to talk about a girl making sexy time with the devil? That's Rosemary's Baby. That's adult horror, not children's entertainment on Disney. I mean, she's 18 at least, thank God. I mean, she's barely legal. How's the devil? Like, thousands of years old. But to me, like, it gets dicey because it's Disney, right? Disney traditionally is for children, but they've been expanding operations. You know, they say six media companies own 90% of the media we consume. Well, Disney owns a ton of it. They own the Marvel movies. They own Hulu. They own the Alien franchise. All of these things aren't necessarily for kids. So it's an umbrella now. It used to just be Mickey Mouse. Now it's this big umbrella. And in fact, I got a thing in the mail talking about it was some Christians up in arms about Disney and Hulu because Disney owns Hulu. And they're like, they're trying to turn out the kids. They're grooming the kids. Give us some money and we'll fight it. I was like, well, let's see what they got to say. And they called out two shows, one called Pen 15, which says penis. But it's on Hulu. It's not on Disney. It's on Hulu. And a show on Hulu called A Teacher. And the teacher show is about a high school teacher who starts making sexy time and cheating on her husband with one of her students. All right. And I thought, wow, really? That's wild. And I watched the whole show. It's actually kind of entertaining. But it turns out the student was 18. And the teacher was, I don't know how old she was, 32, I think. And, of course, not condoning it. Of course, that's inappropriate by every stretch. Should we celebrate these kinds of shows? I don't know. But the whole purpose of the show, before and at the end, they would have these messages like, look, if you're going through this, or because it shows the journey of what happens to the victims. It was very focused on how this female teacher basically ruined this young man's life because he fell in love with her. And you could slice and dice this thing up a million ways and say, well, it's good because of this and it's bad because of that. Sometimes there is a shade of gray, you know? And so I watched it, and by the end of it, you're like, well, I mean, it's not like celebrating it or saying that this is a great thing. It's showing that this guy actually was pretty traumatized by it, which is kind of what you would expect. That's why it's illegal, right? That's why it's wrong. And, I don't know. So Disney apparently pushing the Antichrist agenda next. So there's that. Finally, in Rock Nation, Illuminate confirmed news. Jay Electronica, we haven't talked about him in a long time. You recall he's married or dating one of the Rothschilds, right? He was very well plugged into the Illuminati. And he recently tweeted about the Illuminati. It says, I'm going to read to you from Hip Hop DX. The Rock Nation lyricist comments came on Twitter on Monday, March 13th, during a bizarre posting spree in which he also claims Dominicans control the banks and the Visigoths, an early Germanic people, run a pedophile ring in Hollywood. Quote, P.S. The Illuminati? I met them. They ain't all that. Ask them about me. P.S. The Dominicans control Hollywood. P.S. The Dominicans control the banking system. P.S. The Visigoths are running a pedophile ring in Hollywood. P.S. The albinos control the military-industrial complex. Talking about white people? What does that mean, the albinos? So apparently he's, I don't know, is he going to tell us some stuff? I don't know. But Kevin Hart walked into it. He has a show. Oh, boy, what is it called? Hard on Hard or something like that. I put this on my Instagram if you haven't seen the video. But he had Jay-Z on the show, and they were talking about the Illuminati. Jay-Z says, the reason we created Rock Nation was to be able to say, okay, this is all the information we gathered. Here it is, Rihanna. Here it is, Kanye. You know, whomever. Whomever, right, like, and just like, here's the information. So if we achieve those goals at 36, you do it at 26. He's talking about sharing information about how to have success, right? These little secrets that people don't know about. Kevin Hart replied, he says, I call it the room with the door behind it. Jay-Z said, you never get to that door. We always got through the first door, and we were so excited about being in the room that we never looked at the next door, right? No, that was Kevin Hart that said that. And Jay-Z responded with what some would say is a death stare. And if you watch the video on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, you can see it. And it sure is not a very good one. So Kevin Hart maybe inadvertently spilling the beans. And it's interesting, he says the door behind the door. It's kind of like the ideas of Kenneth Grant, who, you know, a big Aleister Crowley guy, talked about the sun behind the sun. You know, they worship a hidden force. They worship the Luciferian force. Because there's levels to it. You think they're worshiping the sun. And you're like, oh, they're just solar worship people, right? No, they're worshiping the sun behind the sun, the Luciferian belief system. So there you go. We're all caught up. Jeez, there's so much to talk about. I can't even keep up anymore. But stay tuned to the podcast because we're going to drop some Twin Peaks heat soon. Soon. Well, give me a month. I've got a few other shows I'm gonna put out here. I've got a show on... Here's some topics I've got that I don't know the order I'm going to release it. Depends on when I get my Twin Peaks analysis done. I've got a show about Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick. We'll talk about Stanley Kubrick. I got a show about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And I got this show about the Book of Enoch. I still got to finish up some research on that. And then I'm going to share with you guys some various appearances I've been making, in case you missed them. I was on ESPN a week or so ago. I'll share that. Bledsoe Said So, Reality Czars, and No Chiller. You can go listen to them now, or the ESPN one, I think you can get on their website. You can follow my Twitter for more on that. Wow, a lot going on. Thanks for staying with me here, folks. All right, stay subscribed to the show, and of course, stay woke.